right, 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orrig. We can confirm there has been a Jeff Poor spotting.
Yep.
He is in the station. He's in the ready room, getting ready for 9 o'clock this morning. The Jeff Poor Show here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, it is also a Tuesday, and Tuesday is when we check in with Quinn Hillier. Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. We'll talk about how he got that website. Also, read his work in the Washington Examiner and the Mad Jones trilogy available right now over at that little Bezos place, right? What's it called, Quinn?
Amazon? Cargo, Mississippi, Nile.com, something like that. Something named after a river.
Yeah, it's that big one there, that Amazon one. There's probably the word Amazon is more famous to being an online store than it is a gigantic river coming through South America. Probably has... way more branding for a sales place than it does a river. All right, so Mad Jones trilogy. If people have not checked this out yet, talk about why they need to read it.
Well, it's a lot of fun to read. It's satire, which means it pokes fun at things that are happening or that have happened recently. In this case, it's a satire on modern media, politics, and religion. Boy, lots of things to shoot at there. But it's in a novel form, so it's supposed to be a good story, too. It's a lot of fun to read. It's about a modern-day Martin Luther who literally nails religious theses to church doors and gets an overnight internet following, and all the politicians jump in, and the media gets it all wrong. Anyway, please order it, read it. I think you'll really enjoy it.
All right, let's talk about it's something we talked about for the last couple of weeks off and on, though, is what Joe Biden will do next. And this is the week now. This is the VP week.
This is the VP week. And there's all sorts of speculation. Most of it seems to be focused on two people, on Kamala Harris, Senator from California, and on Susan Rice, former National Security Advisor. I think Biden would be making a terrible mistake if he chooses either, especially if he chooses Kamala Harris. You know what? Let me say this. I might have said something like this last week. I hope I'm not repeating myself, but the left doesn't seem to understand and won't learn which of their people drive the center, not to mention conservatives, but drive swing voters insane, that there's something about them. Did I say this last week?
Yeah, to some degree, but go ahead. You're on a roll.
Okay. So I find this all the time, even when I'm trying to find common ground on policy. So I'm saying, telling liberal friends, look, the person you want to push forward is not X, because X just drives swing voters, centrists, crazy. And they said, no, he doesn't. I'm like, yes, he does. And so they push forward X, and they get nowhere. Well, Kamala Harris is like that. They do not understand. And the polls show this. Anecdotal evidence shows this. Kamala Harris is like 10,000 fingernails on 1,000 of the worst chalkboards you've ever heard, with a boom microphone that sends that terrible sound out hundreds of miles in every direction.
I'll put you down as undecided.
And she's got a sharp edge. She's liberal. She's nasty. She just rubs centrist voters the wrong way. She does nothing for Joe Biden. So if you're a Trump fan, you want to say, please, Joe, go pick Kamala Harris. Susan Rice has problems. Susan Rice, look, she just flat out lied about the Benghazi tragedy. She lied about it. She not only did she mishandle it, but when those four people died in an attack that could have been responded to more quickly, maybe two of them might not have died, we don't know, but they completely lied about what happened. They lied about why it happened, and she was terrible about that. And then she's been awfully dodgy, and looks like she probably lied about her role in all of this unmasking of General Flynn and all the rest of it. She has no credibility. So I don't know why Joe Biden is thinking what he's thinking, but if it's one of those two, he's asking for trouble.
Let me just throw this in here, just for the sake of conversation, Quinn. Why should they care what you think? I mean, well, you're concerned. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about what you think and the feeling, and the reaction. That's your take on what. And I want you. I'm not saying this that you're wrong, but tell me why should they care what you think about what moderates want? I mean, look at where the party is. If I was talking about this morning in studio here before we got started, if you went back and looked at not what he did, but what he said on the campaign trail, former President Obama, compared to what's being said now, this party is way far left of that.
Well, yeah, and I didn't want to repeat what I had said last week about what he should be thinking, but the short version is Biden is going to get the votes of the leftist activists anyway because they hate Trump so much. He doesn't need to rile up the base. This is not an election where he needs to do that. All he needs to do is get there's a group of blue-collar whites. There's a group of more moderate, sort of family-oriented Hispanic women. There are a whole lot of soccer moms who will not vote for Donald Trump. They've decided that. The question is, do they vote at all, or do they just not bother? If they vote at all, they're voting for Biden. The last thing Biden needs to do is go left with a choice in a way that scares them off. And so this isn't me saying, oh, what I like. This is me wearing my analyst hat, saying this is what he needs to do to win. Look, that's strategy. That's overall strategy. In terms of actually handicapping who looks like they're in front, it looks like Kamala Harris and it looks like Susan Rice. But the list is a dozen women long, and there's some other interesting people on the list that he could still go with, and that don't cause the problems that I'm talking about.
Quinn,
look at Michelle Lujan Griffin. Excuse me, Grisham, the governor of the governor of New Mexico. She was a congresswoman before. She was a state health commissioner before that. Okay, does that not sound like something that you want in the midst of a pandemic? Actually, it was Council on Aging and Health. But doesn't this sound like somebody who has a perfect background to talk about something that is threatening, especially the senior community? I don't know why he's not thinking along those lines. And I'm saying this is a guy, who doesn't like Joe Biden, will not vote for Joe Biden. But if I'm putting on my hat, I'm saying, what is going to get the people out to vote that otherwise would stay home? So,
hey,
anyway.
Quinn, so the odds you mentioned earlier, Kamala Harris right now, according to oddschecker.com, she's at about even odds, 1-1. Susan Rice, they're giving her about a 25% chance of being the VP odd. And then Gretchen Whitmer actually rose up the boards after her meeting with Biden last week. And I want to talk about her in a minute, but go back to Susan Rice. And you mentioned Benghazi. And I know there are a lot of right-wing people and conservatives that do care a lot about Benghazi. I mean, the late, great Charlie Daniels tweeted about it every day until he passed away last month.
Mm-hmm.
But in this news cycle, and, Trump's been president for 4 years now, I don't think that the centrist voter, and I hate it, but I don't think that your independent voter or maybe left-leaning voter really cares that much about what happened in Benghazi. I think it's an awful thing, but I don't think that that's enough to drive people away from Susan Rice. I think they're looking at Susan Rice as what you said, that people are saying more of a neutral or kind of back to the old Obama days. I think that's what the Democrats are thinking. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, it's not so much that everybody cares about Benghazi, but Susan Rice is not that familiar to most people. And so if the first thing that sticks in their head is that she's incompetent and a liar, that's two pretty bad strikes against you. And so the reason Benghazi is important is not because everybody can point to Benghazi on a map and then say, well, that was the most important event of the last decade. No, it's that she was national security advisor and yet failed to coordinate an adequate response, so that's incompetence, and then lied about it and joined even bigger lies about it So you cannot trust her to tell the truth, and you cannot trust her to handle a crisis. That's two big things, whether or not you even remember Benghazi itself. It's the image, and it's the ability of Republicans of the Trump campaign to paint a picture of her and attack her right from the get-go. And I guarantee you they've got their commercials and their radio ads and their talking points all ready to just rip her to shreds if she's the choice.
There we go. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. And people want to engage with you over on Twitter, give them your handle.
It's a really hard one to remember. It's at Quinn Hillier. Quinn Hillier is found at Quinn Hillier. And you know what? You can also go to quinnhillier.com and read my pieces.
Branding.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Maybe I should put Quinn Hillier on some hotels and I'll be a billionaire.
There's always that. Quinn, we appreciate it. Get to work on that. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, coming right back. We'll take your phone calls at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. I like how we discuss it, that Joe Biden's deciding who his VP is going to be. Now, this week, Joe Biden's having people decide for him who his VP will be, and then he will announce it. I think that's probably the plan.
Yeah, he will find out just before the rest of us find
out. So he doesn't screw it up.
Yeah.
That, you know, one of the things out there is a question about VPs, and Quinn seems to think VP is very important, right, to a ticket. I wonder about that. How important is it? You know, of course, it depends on how strong the presidential candidate is, but did Mike Pence, how many votes did Mike Pence bring to the Trump ticket?
Right.
I don't know. I think there's some. You go back through, I mean, let's flip it around. When Joe Biden was the vice president for Barack Obama, how many votes did Joe Biden bring to the ticket?
Yeah, probably not that many.
How much reinforcing of the message did Joe Biden do?
Yeah, and I think it's different for every candidate and every race, because I think it was Jeff Poor. Once again, you can hear coming up at 9 a.m. I think it was Jeff. It might have been somebody else with the commentary about Sarah Palin when she was on John McCain's ticket. And, you know,
he was a weak candidate. She helped him.
Exactly. He was a weak candidate. And, of course, there have been documentaries and series made about Palin, and a lot of the left say that she ruined McCain's chances of winning, but the argument from Jeff, I believe, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but is that she actually made his campaign stronger, and it was a closer race than it would have been if Sarah Palin hadn't been on the ticket. So I think maybe it is, when you have a weak, boring presidential candidate, the vice president can help swing things. But when you have someone who's exciting and has really rallied the base to vote for them for president, then really you just got to pick a vice president who's not going to screw everything up for you.
Right. And but I hate to encourage Jeff, but I agree with him. I mean, in the case, I think Palin, you know, he didn't lose as badly as he would have if he didn't have Palin
right
out there. But which other, you know,
the one that's interesting here, and we've been talking a lot about Kamala Harris. Like I said, she's even odds to be named the vice presidential nominee. And then you have Susan Rice, who was kind of late to the party. And part of what I think why they've been delaying making this decision known is because I think they've been doing some internal vetting on Susan Rice, because, you know, even though she held a prominent spot in the Obama administration, she hasn't run for office like a lot of these other candidates, and I don't think she has been vetted nearly as much. That was kind of my theory. But then you have Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who, as far as I know, I think she was the first and maybe so far the only potential vice presidential candidate to actually interview and talk with Joe Biden at his home there in Delaware. She went and talked with him last week, and I guess now she's scheduled to be one of the speakers for next week's Democratic National Convention. So Gretchen Whitmer also shot up those odds, shot up the board here recently. She's now at 4-1 odds, so they're saying basically she has about a 20% chance of being the nominee. But I think it really comes down to those three right now. I know a lot of people are saying, maybe Val Demings, or who's that other, Tammy Duckworth, they were mentioning. I'm pretty sure that when they make the announcement this week, it'll likely be either Kamala Harris, Susan Rice, or Gretchen Whitmer.
All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And Gary in beautiful Gulf Shores, check it in. Hey, Gary.
The specs and a white trout are biting, just letting you know.
See, Gary, why do you do this to me? You torture me.
I guess that's the devil in me.
Bring me some fillets.
I agreed with Quinn on Kamala Harris, but on TV this morning, they kept talking about she had the likability factor, and I just don't see that relative to some of the other candidates. Why? Just a question. Why isn't Tammy Duckworth getting more attention? Because to me, you know, she's a proven vote getter, and being a wounded veteran, and you know, whenever they interview her, to me, she handles herself very well. But she's very articulate, and she doesn't seem to me she's as extreme as some of the other candidates, which would be more appealing to that centrist portion of the electorate. Anyway,
yeah. This is a fair question, and this is not rhetorical. I'm looking for answers. How many? Because somebody asked it earlier on the text line too. How many undecided voters are out there, like percentage-wise? I would say it's just my guess. It's less than elections in the past that there's what percentage is in play. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd say 5-10%.
Although, hey, if we're looking at tight election, that makes the election.
That's the difference.
Well, you know, it seems that year after year and election after election, you have a lot of outspoken and a lot of very outspoken far-left voters, you know, the AOC contingent. And we had a text earlier, I think it was Jason. He said, thank God that AOC is too young or she'd be the VP pick. But they've had a lot of trouble, as vocal as those people are about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They've had a lot of trouble getting those voters to the polls. So I think there's actually a lot of undecided voters on the far left that the Democrats are worried about upsetting with their vice presidential pick, not because they're undecided about whether they want to vote for Trump or Biden, but undecided about whether they'll show up to the polls at all in November.
Greg, we appreciate the call. Get back on those fish, man.
Got one on now.
Killing me.
That's a weird thing to do in the morning.
Maybe they'll do the bring back, what was it when I was a kid? Rock the vote.
Yes.
To get the utes out.
Yeah.
That was, somebody Google that, the years of that. That, I think maybe I was in college or something. Rock the vote. It was like MTV's way to get the kids out to vote.
They were still doing that when I was growing up. I think back in 08, 2012. Yeah, you had P. Diddy on Puff Daddy there on MTV saying it was time to rock the vote.
I mean, it was like back then it was like, I forget who they had, the guys from Poison or something saying, dude, rock the vote.
Whitesnake.
Tawny Katane. Well, the Tawny Katane, I don't think she's a U.S. Is she a U.S. citizen?
That is something I have no knowledge of.
I think we'll have to
I've
dig
seen
into
the video.
Just a second, a pause. Okay, but yeah, Tawny Katane. I don't know if citizen or not, but and Whitesnake, weren't they English?
I think you're right actually on that too.
So I hate to introduce those points into the discussion.
Right.
So let's stay with Poison. Let's talk American.
Okay.
Having Nikki Sixx tell you about who to vote for with the crew.
I've always followed whatever Nikki Sixx does. I've said that's the best thing to do.
Welcome back to Motley Crue on Politics. All right. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of politics, tonight your chance to engage with candidates for the Spanish Fort mayor's race and their council race. This goes on tonight. Spanish Fort Container Restaurant Park Pavilion at the intersection of Town Center Avenue and Bass Pro Shops Drive. It's from 6 to 8 tonight. So you have the candidates for mayor, the candidates for city council there. I will be emceeing this event, but it's put on by the Common Sense Campaign Tea Party. And they have the social distancing set up here and how you can get spread out. Also, they'll have a way for you to listen from your car if you'd like to stay in your car. But you can get your questions answered tonight in this forum for Spanish Fort for mayor and council. All right, coming right back. Dr. Bill's forecast on the way and news is next.
AM 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to the award-winning Mobile Mornings.
Yep.
Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, the award-winning show
mm-hmm.
and the award-winning car lot. Hey, what about, you know, that's two great things.
Yeah, what a matchup there. And it is an award-winning car lot, and you guys have some outstanding deals right now at McConnell Automotive. Tell people what they can expect when they come out to the lot.
Oh, man, we've got employee pricing on SUVs. I know I've been wearing that out, but, I mean, it's the bomb, I promise you. Also, don't forget we got a great selection of used car certified, GM certified. It gives you an extra 12 on the warranty. Plus, it gives you a couple of oil changes. I mean, it's the deal. We just traded in a little Range Rover Discovery. Anybody out there wants one of those, we got that on the lot. Got some trucks finally hitting, so we'll have a few trade-ins on those. And don't forget about these afternoon thunder showers. We got a great body shop back there. Gary and the guys and the girls will take care of y'all. That's at 251-476-4141. Give them a call back there. They'll help you at any time you have that unfortunate accident. We got a great service department. Come by and get your oil changed. Hang out in the lounge. We've got safe distance. Everything's fine. We got a little machine back there that'll even disinfect your car for you.
Awesome. That's some good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 8:37, and grab some texts and calls now at 343-0106, 343-0106. But before we do, set up a thought starter. This just came to me. And so it could be, could not be, it might not be a well-thought-out thought starter.
Well, but those flashed, are the best thoughts.
It flashed through the synapses here in my aging brain. So, what do we call football in Alabama? It's not just where it's a
religion.
Religion, correct?
Right. Yes, that's what they say.
Has that been said once or 36,000 times?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, we have battled this out during some of the closures, the infringement on religion,
mm-hmm.
right? That you... You're stepping on Americans' rights.
Yeah, they wouldn't let some states go to church.
But then they fought that back because of, you know, the rights granted for expression of religion, right? Freedom mm-hmm. of religion. So if football, following me here,
yeah.
If football is a religion, can we make the argument that college football should be played because if you don't, you're denying Americans their right to the religion of their choice that happens to be the holy house of the SEC.
Right. You're just worshiping.
You see what I'm doing here? I'm putting together my argument in front of SCOTUS here.
And yeah.
Say, you know, esteemed justices, let me explain this. So it is a religion. Football is a religion. And so therefore, our rights have been infringed on.
I see where you're going with this.
Okay.
I'm not sure it would change any minds for the school presidents that are thinking about shutting things down, but I see exactly where you're going with this. And, you know, if Nick Saban can't stop this season from being canceled, then I'm afraid no one will. But right now it looks like the SEC, they're going to try to give it a shot.
My religion is football, Dalton. And then so if they... when they cancel this, when they, you're telling me that the Big 12 doesn't want to let people worship the way they want to? Who's the Big 12? Who's the Mac to tell people how they can practice their religion?
Who are they to tell me how to live my life? The Mac.
Making this argument. You know, I see myself in front of the Supreme Court. I would have to, like, go to law school and stuff. But I could see down the road I'd be making this very sentient argument out there. By the way, from the text line here, Supermom, I'm just going to make a guess. She says, I'm curious, but on the Russian vaccine, do you think the Russian citizens have a choice whether to receive the vaccine or not?
I would say...
will receive vaccine.
Yeah, they don't have much of a choice. I don't think that the Russians will be able to... I think that they are going to be forced to take the vaccine. There's no doubt about that. And that could spell some trouble. I know I saw somebody tweeting earlier that what Putin's doing here with this rushed vaccine is creating his super army of Ivan Dragos in Russia, that the vaccine's going to be loaded with steroids and stuff like that.
Where is Dolph Lundgren now? Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah. He's still making movies. And he's got a either a wife or a girlfriend that's like 24 years old. And Dolph is now in his mid-60s.
Yeah, but he probably looks like he's in his mid-40s. That guy was like...
He's still pretty jacked. Still pretty big.
By the way, Josh points out... thank you, Josh. And Josh will help put together my arguments to be framed in front of the Supreme Court because he said, you know, that our denomination is Bammer. So Josh and I, yeah, within our religion of football, the denomination for Josh and I is Bammer. But, you know, your denomination is Vol.
Yeah, we're the Rocky Top Church.
Of the Volunteers.
Of the Volunteers. Rocky Top Church of the Volunteers.
Second removed.
And the communion is with some moonshine, of course.
Should be. So, yeah, if I tell you what, there we go. That's how we expand on this. So if we say football is a religion, and if y'all are just joining us, I'm making an argument that they shouldn't be able to shut down football because that's our freedom of religion.
Right.
Because football is religion. So within that, like Josh pointed out, thank you, that the denomination is Bamber. Let's create within our denominations what's different. What things set apart our denomination from what is different in the Bammer denomination than the Vol denomination?
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact we got a lot more people in our church and people yeah. are real satisfied with the we've been winning. Go ahead.
The Rocky Top Church of the Volunteers, they've been upset for a while now. And they keep
moonshine is communion, right?
That's right.
Moonshine and some bunny bread.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a glass pane window of Peyton Manning. That's what's happening in the
glass Peyton Manning window. All right, so y'all create this. So for us on the Bama or Auburn side, so if our denomination is our actual team within the SEC, what makes it different? What things stand out? What things are part and parcel of this denomination? So let us know on the text line or the phone line at 343-0106. I'm here fighting for your right of worship,
yeah,
of religion. The founders said, you know, so I mean, if football is religion, then so be it. All right, 842, let's go to the phones, and let's go to first. Hey, it's Dr. Lou, and I know we want to talk about tonight's Mayor Council candidate forum, but beforehand, what do you think about my argument? Do you think that stands the test there for the Supreme Court?
Well, let's put it this way. I think that it's nice to think about football as a religion, but the real religion is politics, and we better watch these people who are getting into elected office. I mean, look what's going on in Washington, the state of Washington, these mayors in Portland. These folks have a religion, and it ain't a good one, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it is a it's not one that we'll see. There are maybe, I don't know, a religion. Would they be more of a cult?
Well, I mean, you can classify it all sorts of ways, but the fact of the matter is it's destructive of everything that we believe in. This whole concept of law and order is the only thing that allowed the kind of progress we've seen across the board, racial, socioeconomic, whatever. I mean, and they're going to just let Chicago down the tube with destructive riots for no damn reason? It's ridiculous, Sean.
No disagreement for me on that.
I know. But listen, but here's where we can all have an impact. These kinds of forums that we're doing, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight and emceeing this, but these forums where mayors, and this is particularly important in the Eastern Shore area, these mayors have real impact. We saw that when the Eastern Shore MPO said no to Ivy and Cooper's, toll. So you better know who you're getting if you're looking at 4 years of, the kind of person who can actually lead rather than someone who's just going to be either a caretaker for, the big money people or whatever. I just think that it is important. So I do think that, hopefully we'll have, and again, the crowd issue is something that, we had 180 people in 2016 come to the forum for the mayor's race that year, and that's when Karen Wilson won that. I mean, that's not going to happen tonight nor for the rest of our forums. But the fact that we've been able to, work it into social media and other ways of getting the word out, at least people will have an opportunity to see and hear from these candidates and listen to the questions that are going to be asked.
So, all right. So it's going to be mayoral candidates, council candidates, and 6
yeah.
o'clock. Tell the social distancing thing. So what should people know as they come in? What are they supposed to do?
Well, I mean, the first thing is masks. You need to have a mask. Now, we will have masks there in case you've forgotten your mask and all like that. Social distancing, we want that 6 feet. And this afternoon, we're going to set the seats up there. They already have tables in the pavilion, and we're going to line it up so that people will be able to see where they can sit, and that should work out. And we'll have folks there to help them with all that. If you bring a lawn chair, that's great. There's space around there. And I think that's, again, a social distancing issue. If it's your family, obviously you don't have to social distance within family, but we will ask and make sure that people have enough of a spread there between lawn chairs and all like that. So that should work out okay. We're actually going to have someone take a temperature. We're going to, you know, we've got a temperature gauger, so you can take a temperature. And if there's an issue with that, then we want to make sure that those kinds of folks are just said, okay, maybe you better just sit in the car, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. People have asked me since we talked the other day about how to get their questions asked. What's the process?
Yeah, the process is simply this. You can text me a question right now, area code 228-342-2430, or you can fill your question in at the event tonight, or you can send a question through Facebook, okay? And we'll have Facebook Live to Common Sense Campaign. That's probably an easy way to do it. Just go to the Common Sense Campaign Facebook page, post a question, and we'll see it and make sure it gets asked.
All right, Dr. Lou, I appreciate it. We'll see you all this evening.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Take care, guys.
Right, you
bye-bye.
Too. Dr. Lou Campomenosi from the Common Sense Campaign. Coming right back, we're grabbing your calls and texts at 343-0106, 343-0106, putting together our denominations within the religion of football. All right, so we've got we need your help on that. We'll do that when we get back. Take Kane, 853 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Grab a call here and some text as we're putting together the denominations within the religion of football or the SEC. Susan in Fairhope is up first. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is a fun topic and we all need a little fun.
No joke.
Every SEC team has its saints.
Mm-hmm.
Bama is the only one with an archangel.
And why do I feel
the
that last name
Bear.
Is? Yeah, yeah. The and Bear came to speak, and Bear said to
yes.
the people,
"Yeah."
So you think I'm right on this that there's a religion, and then within the religion of football, we have like Josh pointed out denominations.
Yes.
So
and
what denomination are you?
Has its own saint.
Are you Bammer?
Say General Neyland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a Georgia Tech fan, so Bobby Dodd. I'm not in the SEC.
So the Ramblin' Wreck.
Vince Dooley.
Mm-hmm.
We could go on and on. There's saints everywhere, but Bear is definitely the Archangel Bear, and he came to deliver his people.
Well said, Susan. Thanks.
And then, you have your hymns that are sung in church and Dixieland Delight.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about the hymns in the denomination.
Don't Stop Believing. Who is it when they come out? They've got the. What's that?
I don't know, but I'd like to hear you do that for about 30 minutes.
No, that was all I had. That techno song. Yeah, that's South Carolina that comes down with that. So, yeah, you've got your hymns. You've got your archangel, as she said there. So there's, it really is, for some people, it is a religion.
Speaking of South Carolina, so Gamecock Girl checking in on the text line says, and South Carolina is the religion of hope. By the way, thank you. Greg pointed out that Dolph was just in our area a couple years ago, did a movie filmed in Mobile, Dolphin Island, with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm.
The Muscles from Brussels.
Oh, yeah.
I did not catch that one. Maybe it went straight to video. Let's see. Paul says, AU Holy Spirit that is not afraid. Let's see here.
Thanks. Dan said Sandstorm. I could not remember the name of that song in South Carolina. Sandstorm. That's exactly right. What's the religion they show up to your door? They knock on your door. And
Jehovah's
they,
Witness.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and peg Vanderbilt as the Jehovah's Witnesses here. They're just looking for new members, right?
So the different church, and would it be like, you know, at the split of the Holy Roman Catholic Church when you had the Eastern Orthodox Church, right? Form, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have Eastern Orthodox Church. Is that the split between SEC East and West? Is it similar to when, you know, the church split into the Church of the East and then the Church of Rome? Is that the split between the West? They're similar.
Yeah. I'm seeing some
They're similar. There's a lot of things, but there's some differences between the two.
Yeah. And while we're
You'd feel more comfortable if you were in the denomination of Bammer,
mm-hmm.
right, to go to another church, you know, within the SEC West and feel more familiar
yeah.
than what, like, going to Florida.
Yeah, Florida, they are the Scientologists of the industry. That's what Florida is.
So Vandy's Jehovah's Witness, Florida's Scientologist.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's see. Who go down the list now?
I'm running out of religions, actually, right now.
Well, I'm thinking Mississippi State. I'm thinking something to do with the bells there in their services, that they have cowbells in the services. Beautiful. When you hear the cowbell, when you hear them with some choreography, direction.
I don't tell many people this. That's how I go to sleep at night. I put on a recording of the Mississippi State crowd playing the cowbells.
It's
the most
beautiful,
annoying sound in sports.
It's beautiful. It's like a children's choir. It's beautiful. Beautiful to hear that. Okay, we'll work on this on the text line. People are getting information.
Still workshopping this.
Yes, that's the term, right? Workshopping.
Yeah.
See, I just say, so, well, we're working on it. The term is workshopping, Sean. It's like when I say, well, we're going to gather up some stuff. They said, no, you curate stuff. I said, no, I just gather stuff up.
Gather it up.
But yeah, so you can have your suggestions here. Maybe we'll talk more about this during Midday Mobile. This is a workshop in progress. And we're thinking, yeah. So what is this? Ashley says, cowbells are the handbell choir. That's a beautiful, it is beautiful when you hear that, especially on like the eve of the SEC championship game, when they're all is still.
Yeah. Well, I love that they were banned from doing it, and that stopped nothing. They told them they couldn't do the cowbells anymore, and there might have been more cowbells that showed up at the next game than ever before. They're going to bring the cowbells no matter what.
Dan suggests that LSU would be voodoo.
Ooh. That's strong there.
So you keep your suggestions up. Yeah, we'll work this together. Just if you're just joining us, the idea was that, you know, if we're going to make an argument to keep college football open, we often say, with great repetition, that football is a religion, at least for sure here in the SEC. So within that religion, we got the denominations and what makes them different out there. Continue this conversation. Maybe I'll try to get Jeff Poor on it.
G-Man asked, would the choirs forego robes and adorn themselves with painted bellies and faces?
Of course they would. Yes, G-Man, they would. All right, Jeff Poor Show on the way in just minutes, and I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.